Scripture reading this morning will be Proverbs 6, 16 through 18. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief.
Most of us are familiar with the parable of the young man in Luke chapter 15. But do we know, as we look at that particular parable, that there is a somewhat similar parable in at least one other religion? The Buddhist religion, believe it or not, also has a lost son parable. I'm not going to read the Buddhist story about the son this morning for a lot of reasons, one of which is that it's too long. But if you want to take a look at that at some point, if that's of interest to you, you can certainly find it on the internet. And if you do look at it, you'll find that in the Buddhist version, there is only one son. And the Buddhist story does not read very much like Luke 15. When you look at the Buddhist story about the one son, or the son, you find that there is just one son, and it is a very earthly story. It does not have the ring of inspiration that we find in the Bible. It's not very concise. But when we look at the information in Luke 15, it is concise. It is inspired. Jesus says there was a father who had two sons. We know from the story that the older son decided to stay at home. The younger son wanted to go out into the world. The young son comes to his father and asks for his inheritance, and the dad gives it to him. The young son took the money, leaves home, spends what he received, and wound up broke. Now, we do not know how long the young son and the young son in the story stayed away from home. If you look at the Buddhist story, which we reject, it actually mentions some specific time periods. But Jesus' parable simply says the young man, he went into a far country, he finally comes home, he's received well, his father was overjoyed to see him. His older brother, however, was not quite so enthusiastic. Last week we introduced the idea, Proverbs 6, verse 18, that it is possible for a person's feet to be quick to run to mischief, that is sin. One clear-cut example of someone engaging in this particular activity is found in Luke chapter 15. Now, we do not know why this young man's feet were quick or speedy to run to mischief, but they clearly did. It may be that the young man was tired of living under the house rules. As we look at young people, we find that there are a number of cases. Maybe this has happened in our house, maybe not. But there may be some times where children finally get to a point where they do not like the house rules. They do not care for the household policies about schoolwork. They don't like the rules from mom and dad about housework. They don't like the rules about yard work. They may not like the instructions they receive about using the house or the car or something else. And there have been a number of parents over the years who have had children say to them, "We can't wait until we can leave the nest. When we are this age, we're moving out. We're gone. We don't want to be under your thumb anymore." Well, there have been cases where that time has come and children have actually left the home. Some young people have not only left the home, but they have allowed their feet to run quickly to sin or mischief. Some say we want to make our own decisions, and the decision that they make is a decision for sin. While visiting with a man this past week, I was reminded of the time that I spent in the military. We had that point in common. And during that particular conversation, I thought about many of the young men that I had enlisted with. I remember, and I suspect that this is still true, I remember that there were some people who were just itching to go to a far country and see what life in other places was like. I recall that there were some young men who had heard stories about Korea, and they hoped for that particular assignment. Other young men had received information from friends and family members, other GIs, about the Philippines, and they wanted to go. The stories that people had shared with them made those places appealing. They wanted to experience what someone else had experienced. One wonders if the young man in Luke 15 had also not heard some stories. Perhaps he knew some people who had gone off to a faraway land, and based on what they had told him, he wanted to see those same kinds of things. Maybe there were stories about adventure, wine, women, song, and he thought, "I want my inheritance to do those kinds of things as well." Friends could have told him about their strange sights and experiences. Maybe they had some souvenirs from the travel. Young people are very, very impressionable. And oftentimes, as people tell them about things that they've seen and done, perhaps in a foreign land, those things are exciting, and they want to share in those same kinds of experiences. About 200 years ago in this country, a lot of shipping activity was occurring in the northeast part of the United States. Young men were needed to go on a number of shipping ventures, such as whaling ships. The pay was not good. Young men a couple hundred years ago could have made a lot more by staying at home and working on the docks. There was danger in being a crew member. They knew that there were cases where young men sometimes lost arms, sometimes lost legs, sometimes they died at sea. But you know, 200 years ago, those crusty old sea captains were pretty smart. They knew how to recruit a steady stream of young people, even though the work was often dangerous and the pay was absolutely awful. They would gather some young men and tell stories, great stories. Tell them about what they had seen far across the way. Maybe show them some of the souvenirs that they brought back from foreign lands. The sea captains, of course, they didn't emphasize the hard work. They didn't stress the long hours. They didn't want to bring up the possibility of death unless that was absolutely necessary. Young men were essentially baited with stories about how great and how wonderful it was. And there were many young men who took the bait. They signed up. And after they got out to sea, after the feet had taken them into some distant lands, there was no way to turn around. There was no way to come back home. They were on a ship. And oftentimes that journey lasted for many years, and sometimes they didn't return. Well, that's precisely what happens with sin, and sometimes it happens to young people. Young men and young women can get in their mind, in their head, some idea that's related to sin. And they find that there is some experience, or they believe that there is some activity, or there is some pleasure that they just have to experience because other people have experienced it and they've spoken favorably about it, and young people think that this is an opportunity that's just too good to pass up. They think that they must experience that and everything's going to be okay. It appears the young man in Luke 15 reasoned in that same kind of way. He must have thought everything was okay. He was young. He had money. Presumably, he had a reasonable degree of health. It seemed like everything was in place for this young fellow to go out and explore. And his heart desired that far country. And the Bible says that's where he finally got to. But that choice required a little work. If you turn to Luke 15, let's see what's said in verse 12. The younger of them, that is, the younger of the two boys, came to his father and said, "Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me." This young man goes to his dad and says, "Father, give me." Now, in view of the Old Testament law, if this man were a Jew, the Jewish law said that the young fellow would have eventually received his inheritance at some point in life. So coming to his dad and asking for his inheritance at this time was tacky, to say the least. When a person has feet that are headed to mischief, they are usually not all that concerned about some things. They may not be concerned about their reputation. We have no indication in Luke chapter 15 that this man was concerned that his choice might be damaging to his reputation. It also seems that this young fellow was not all that concerned about his parents' feelings, at least his father's feelings. Today, when people have feet that run to mischief, especially with young people, they're often not overly concerned with their friends or their parents. When an individual makes a conscious choice to let their feet run to mischief, that is, to head towards sin, they often harden their heart. They're willing to risk their family. They're willing to risk their job, their health, and maybe even their physical life. Others are certainly willing to risk their eternal spirit for some pleasurable pursuit. Now, that can happen at any time in life, but it is something that young people are especially susceptible to. It's especially relevant to young people. Over the years, and if this has not happened to us, we probably know someone that has gone through the experience. Over the years, tons of parents have said to their children, "What you want to do, what you're thinking about, what you're considering, that is a mistake. Think about what you're doing." Parents have pleaded with their children to consider the fact that the choice that a child is contemplating will be something that is regretted at a later time. But instead of considering, or instead of heeding the information that was coming from mom or dad or both parents, a lot of young people have been like the young man in Luke 15. They set their sights on that distant land, and they allowed their feet to take them to that place. Well, that kind of thinking has often come with a high price. This young man in Luke 15, he not only made a demand of his father, "Give me the substance that's coming to me, that belongs to me, that I'm going to inherit someday." The Bible says he actually entered into a far country. He was able, as we find in Hebrews 11, verse 25, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, it's one thing to go to a place, especially a far place. But it is a separate matter to actually participate in what is offered in that place. Well, this young man did go. This young man did participate, and he learned some very hard lessons. In Luke 15, verse 13, the text tells us that he wasted his substance on riotous living. The young man's feet did get him into mischief. Now, Jesus may have had a specific case in mind. Or maybe this was simply a general example. Whether thinking of a specific person or not, several points in this story are unchanged. One point is that sin, mischief, is expensive. When people choose sin or mischief, it will cost them. Virtually every sin that we find in the Bible comes with a price tag. Unrighteous anger has come with the price tag of health issues for many. Other sins have led to various types of diseases, or in some cases, criminal prosecution. We see examples of how sin has created financial setbacks for people. When feet run to mischief, there is a cost. It is a cost that may last for a short period of time. It may last for months, years, or even a lifetime. In the worst case scenario, that cost will follow people into eternity. The young man in Luke 15 digressed into riotous living, and after his money was gone, there may have been a few people that helped him for a period of time. But it was not long before things got pretty rough. Luke 15 is a passage that describes a bad economy. And they were not jump-starting this economy, or if they were, there were apparently no government checks in the mail for him. Look, if you will, at what we find in verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land that he began to be in want. There were no options for him. So he finally begins to feed pigs, verse 15. Now, if this man were a Jewish fella, the job would have been especially disgusting. The point's especially strong. Well, finally, he decides that it is best to go back home, and that decision must not have been easy. I've wondered at various times if the young man didn't almost run to the far country. He had heard the stories, and he wanted to get there as quickly as possible. But after he lost all that he had, I wonder how fast his feet brought him back home. Maybe the trip home was a good bit slower because he knew that he would have to admit some things. Certainly the guilt on the part of this young man was great. We see this from verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. When people allow themselves to embrace sin, when their feet are quick to head off to mischief, guilt is a common consequence. And there are people who will carry that guilt, who do carry that guilt to the grave. It hounds them like an aching body part. There is no relief. There is no rest. People would give almost anything to find some degree of peace, but it escapes them. We do not want to have feet that run to mischief. That's true in the early years, in the teenage years, prior to that, and in the early adult years. Some make that choice, and they may say to others, we're having a lot of fun. We're getting to do all the things that our parents never allowed us to do. We're having the time of our life. God says making that choice will eventually take people to a consequence, and it's not a very good consequence. You know, I'm old enough now to have seen some people age over a span of several years. I've made some observations that maybe you have as well, and that observation on my part seems to be growing every single year. I have noticed, and this has been in a number of cases, where people that I've known for a number of years, they've allowed their feet to run to mischief, they have embraced sin, and they've not only aged just like the rest of us, but they have aged prematurely. Can you think of someone that you've known for a number of years, someone who is in their 30s, their actual age, but they look like they're in their 50s? I can name at least half a dozen people, and probably a few more that are in that particular situation. I know people who should have bodies that are still in good shape because of their physical, their chronological age, but they are in horrible or terrible physical shape. And the pathetic condition that I see people in is not because they have some chronic health circumstance. It's not due to a circumstance that's beyond their control. No, these people at an earlier time in life allowed their feet to run towards mischief. They stayed in that particular activity, and it has allowed them to expiate the full bitterness of sin. For a while, the sin that these people chose may have been fun. It may have looked awfully good to them, and maybe even to us. But as you look at the people who have done what Proverbs 6 says God hates, we find that they have made a very bad choice. We want to keep our feet headed in the right direction. And you know, hopefully that's a choice that we've been trying to make throughout our life. We've not lived a perfect life. We've not always done everything correctly. But we're trying to head in that general direction that God wants us to go. Well, what if that's not, though, the way that we've lived our life? What if, as we look back on our past, we have taken some courses, maybe even this morning, our feet have turned towards what's evil? Is there hope for us? Is there any chance of redemption? Can things be turned around? The Bible says there is hope. Staying in the same chapter, but now looking at the information in verses 22 to 24. But the father said to his servants, here's a young man, he wants to come back. His feet have brought him back. Bring forth quickly the best robe, put it on him. Get the ring, put it on his hand. shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and make merry, for this my son was dead and is alive. Again he was lost and is found. Jesus himself says this young man was restored. Coming back must have been hard. It required some humility. Perhaps in some respects this young man was afraid of what his father would say or what his father would do. But this young fellow determined in his mind that he was going to come back. He did return. And Jesus affirms in the strongest possible terms that he was accepted. That point is also true for those who become Christians. If we have used our feet to move away from God, Luke 15 tells us that we can use our feet to return to God. Today there is a simple question before us. Are our feet turned towards God or turned away from God? They may be turned away from God because we've never become a Christian. We perhaps have struggled with faith and maybe come to a time where we have faith, and that's good because that faith allows us to turn our feet towards God. When we are willing to repent, that is, live as the Bible describes, we've turned our feet even more fully towards God. When we confess that Christ is the Son of God, now our feet are really pointing towards the divine. And when we're baptized into Christ, our feet are on par with God. We're in Christ, we're a Christian, we're beginning to walk the Christian life. And it's our duty, it's our responsibility, and our privilege to continue to keep the feet headed in that direction. We're going to stumble from time to time, but we can maintain that course throughout our life. But there are also some cases where sometimes people start heading off in that right direction and their feet turn back towards the world and what's wrong. This morning, if that has happened to you, and we can help put you, as far as your spiritual feet, back on the right path, we'd like to assist you. Or if you've never become a Christian and your feet are in the process of turning, we'd like to help you with that final step, to baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and your feet can be positioned in the right way so that you can be walking towards eternal life and have the promise and the hope of heaven. This morning, if your feet are not turned in the right direction and we can help you make things right, will you let us know what we can do for you and for your life as we stand and sing the selected song?
Now is spread, ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come who everlasting.
Please be seated.